Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack.
Hello, loves, and welcome back to Tarot for the Wild Soul podcast. I am just always so grateful, so overjoyed, so happy to be here with you. Thank you for being here with me. We're going to follow our typical format for the episode this week, talking about diving into the medicine of our anchor card for the week ahead, as well as answering a lovely listener question. And I think I'm going to get right to the card for the week ahead, which is the Magician. So what do we know about the Magician just at face value, right? We know it's a major arcana card. And anytime we're working with a major arcana card, the key is to surrender. The majors are gusts of wind. They're, you know, turning of the tides, the sun setting and rising, the shift of, you know, the turn of the earth. These are energies that are bigger than us. And so when they come, we want to bow to them and say, okay, move me, guide me, help me to surrender to the sun setting and rising. How would you work with me? You know, that's the intention, the energy, and the spirit that we want to go into with that. So we know that there's some undercurrent, even if it's very, very small, in the coming week ahead that has to do with that, that has to do with bowing over to and working with an energy. And that in and of itself is a gift and an opportunity, a practice, if you will. So that's present in the week ahead. The other thing that is, you know, just kind of an off the bat thing we know about Magician is that it's a part of line one of the major arcana. And at the mention of line one, I want to take this opportunity to just offer up my own bow of respect and gratitude and tremendous honor to the beloved late Rachel Pollack, who just passed from her body this past week, and in a very, you know, obviously it's always incredibly sad to lose a wise elder. And I was lucky enough to get to have a couple of conversations with Rachel over the years, and she was nothing but lovely and friendly, and I was honored that she even attended an audience with me, even slightly. And so Rachel is responsible for really popularizing and spearheading the splitting of the major arcana into the three lines, which is so brilliant and has provided so much of the foundational framework that many of us have used to plug in our own understanding of the tarot. So for everything that Rachel created and gave to the world and gave to all of us as tarot readers and gave to me and all of my fellow tarot practitioners and teachers, the path they struck, the path she struck, is, you know, incredibly indebted gratitude. So it's a bit of a detour from what we were just talking about, but I, in honoring Rachel, as I try to do every time I talk about the three lines of the majors, I wanted to just take this moment to acknowledge her passing and to just offer up enormous gratitude. And I know I probably hold that and feel that way about Rachel Pollack, along with so many thousands of you. So just bowing to Rachel and her memory, and honoring her and letting her memory be a blessing as we allow her brilliance to help us to understand a little bit more about why the magician, the significance of the magician being in the first of the three lines of the majors. In Soul Tarot, we really honor line one of the majors as being the line of foundation. And as I raise a child who's now a little over 1 year old, just a little over one, there's so much about the first cards in the tarot that correspond to the slow unfolding of the development that I'm seeing and the desire for autonomy and the way that independence just needs to be fostered and honored while holding that secure base. And no matter how old we are or whether we're in sort of a relational dance with a parental figure or a caretaker, we're doing that kind of foundational root work anytime we work with any of the cards in the first line of the majors, and of which that's Magician, High Priestess, Empress, Emperor, Hierophant, Lovers, and Chariot. So Magician is number one, the first card out of the gate after we take our leap in the Fool. Magician is about, and I'm just still laying the groundwork here for us to connect with this energy, but Magician is about aligned, humble power. It's about feeling into the power we have as channels, because we're born that way. We're born with an open channel. We are in these bodies. These bodies we should be supported in feeling sovereign in our bodies and autonomous in our bodies. And there's so much about Magician that I am really going to focus on today, because it's a really big part of the reading and the medicine that this card is bringing. There's a really big piece in the Magician about timing. So when we are gestating something creatively, or we have something to share or say, or there's an idea, or there's a milestone, or there's, you know, we can really span the gamut with this idea, right? All of that is dependent on timing. It doesn't matter how scheduled out we are. It doesn't matter how much like we're willing it to be. We totally have free will. And yet we are in a co-collaboration with so many things in this life that are bigger than us, that run on their own flow, on their own spiral dance, on their own time. And Magician has really historically, if you go really far back in the history of the tarot, the Magician, there's actually a bit about the Magician being kind of conniving, not so great. Although I don't know, even though that's part of the historical context, I don't know that the soul of the Magician card has ever been rooted in that. But that's for folks to decide for themselves. It's just not my thing. But Magician has to do, in Soul Tarot specifically, with a kind of a stretching and a feeling into the power and the potency, what we're capable of as humans, as channels, as communicators, when we opt to allow that flow to occur in alignment with divine timing. So in other words, if we rush, if we push, if we scramble, whatever comes through into our channel and out of us, it might feel like a little stuck, like it's not quite ready. It might feel like we're pushing, we're forcing, which isn't the worst thing, but it just kind of sucks. It robs us of energy, and it can create more contraction, more complication, more challenge than there needs to be. Now, one of the biggest pieces around this is us trusting that if something isn't ready to come through, it's not ready to come through. Another huge part of magician too is if something's ready to come through, to not judge how ready you think it is. That it could be that whatever wants to come through you just needs to be put on the page, just needs to be spoken into an empty room or to a therapist or to a trusted professional before we take it to the audience that we hope that it will meet at some point. I believe that the magician also is deeply connected to the idea of being in one's own sovereign root system. So not appropriating, not drawing from any sources that are not our own, working with nature, working with what is aligned. That's a nice idea, and we can absolutely aim to do that. But as some of us, I'm a descendant of colonizers living in the United States, formerly called and rightfully called Turtle Island. And for me, there, because the very presence of me in the space that I'm in is, some could argue, harmful, right? Like there has to be an acknowledgement of the ancestral weight that carries, right? So I'm not pointing fingers or telling anyone how they should feel about themselves or about, you know, anything, but we have to acknowledge when we center the experience of the oppressed that that's the way it can feel, you know, and the important thing is to really check our own fragility about that and to have some real awareness about that. And I think the magician works with that too. I think that when we try to draw from places, even outside of the paradigms that I'm talking about, if there's an idea, if there's something we're trying to make happen and it's just kind of not our thing, it won't come through as clearly, as cleanly, as fully as something will that really wants to be there. So there's so much more I could say about magician, but we only have like 45 minutes for this podcast. And I want to lay the groundwork on it because it's going to help a lot for all of us to be on really the same page as we tune into the way it's showing up for us this week as an anchor card and as a helping card. So our theme for the month of April is wisdom. And last week we talked about, last week our card of the week was Three of Swords. And we talked about how when we lean into Three of Swords as an anchor, especially for this idea of reclaiming and trusting our own intuitive wisdom, our own timing, sometimes stories, beliefs, heavy stones have to bubble up, have to slide up, have to make themselves known. Sometimes big things have to show up in order for us to get really clear, in order for us to slough off certain things that are we're actually not meant to carry with us anymore, but have to be cleared. So last week, like, you know, I noticed for myself, there was a lot of noise for me. And I don't say noise to be in any way dismissive of my own experience, but it was super noisy and actually I think kept me from being as present as I would have liked to have been in moments around a feeling of lack of support. There's so many privileges I benefit from, but being two creative people who are attempting to work like at home with a toddler who is delicious and who is beaming in her toddlerhood and wants to move and groove and not having any village whatsoever and any childcare is hard. you know, it's really hard. And again, I can name that while also being very thankful for, you know, having a completely 50-50 co-parent in my partner. But man, it's, you know, it's challenging. And so there was a lot that came up for me in that space last week of just a lot of deadlines and a lot of things and a lot of questions and a lot of, just all kinds of stuff, right? And I know I'm not alone in that tough spot, right? And for my partner, they went through their own things last week, but like it's the working out of a splinter that's typically been in us for a really long time, Three of Swords. And I don't want to say the point, but the medicine inside of what it brought us last week is that taking that longer path, really being with the feelings that come up without letting them take us away, just really honoring them, is a hugely important part of us checking in with the wisdom within us. Because for me, really leaning into that feeling of like we just don't have the support that we're really needing in this season incentivized me to be a little bit more empowered about what I asked for. I like directly asked for some help rather than attempted to juggle our time a little bit more effectively when like there is no possible other better way that we could juggle it, which I think is a real nod to where I think we get off track sometimes in the culture of self-help, because there's so much systemically that we just have no, like we're working with a lot of mantle as it pertains to systemic oppression, lack of support for families, lack of support for folks who are of need, lack of support for folks dealing with illness or disabilities. And so I'm a bit, weaving around here, but just acknowledging that I caught myself in my own process of being like, well, how could we, you know, get a little better at managing our time? And it's like, there's no better way. We're doing literally so much more than we should have to, than any of us should have to, right? And we cherish our kid, and it's also like just so much to hold. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that. So that came up and was a very, very important sort of part of the removal of a little splinter. And in some moments, what felt like a big splinter before I could fully move into the next steps of honesty with myself about what I needed. Magician is a continuation of that. Magician is the green light that came after last week's kind of red light / yellow light that we weren't sure if we could make. So we just kind of stayed at the, you know, at the light and didn't go. Magician is movement. Magician is flow. It's lubrication. It's things flowing in and falling in and dropping in. Magician is very juicy. It's very potent. It brings with it a lot of fullness. And this week, kind of our theme and the way we're being invited to work with it is sort of the theme of catching a wave. And that's very much, you know, I often use the analogy of a wave in the major arcana energies. With Magician and with this week in particular, we're continuing to refine our trust in our own intuition, our trust in our timing, our trust in spirit, our trust, you know, and kind of across the board, the things that we're really healing and tonifying and solidifying right now. All of those pieces are coming into greater focus with this week in our kind of dance with the Magician, because a couple things are going on. One, that idea of catching a wave, that's a very helpful image, because you may find this coming week that certain things are kind of nagging or dropping or really tapping you on the shoulder. in whatever way you can, in whatever way that's accessible for you, as much as you can. It's very, very important to answer the door, turn around, take the call. When the magician comes to call, when something wants to be dropped through, when we say yes to what wants to come through, it's a healing, not just for ourselves, but for the world, for our families. I'll offer an example without going into too many details, just because I'm not really at liberty to talk about it fully. But I'm working on a project right now that is a big project that is not going to make any immediate financial impact on my life. And like, there are a lot of things that technically on paper should be coming before it. And yet I was getting kind of really, and I mean, it's been forever since this has happened to me. I mean, I was getting kicked awake at like 3 in the morning, like every night, when I'm like just thinking about like my next immediate, you know, the courses that want to come through, and like I'm like thinking about potentially readings and like working on a couple of upcoming live events and maybe a retreat. There's like a lot of different things happening and a lot of different like sort of buckets to hold. And this particular project, while lovely and exciting and great, just hasn't, I've wanted to give it time. It just hasn't really been the focal point. And so I got woken up like one too many times at 3 in the morning. And the next day I was like, I'm going to stay up later after my daughter goes to bed, and I'm just going to see what happens. And I can't even say that all that much came from it. I think quite a bit, but not the whole thing. But it started to move some other things. A project that I just could not sense into the title for, it formed itself the next day. And then other things started to fall into place. And then I got so that's magician. It is you being humble in the face of the call from that deep telephone inside yourself that is both your own wisdom and a phone that connects you both to yourself and to what's beyond you. And magician is the representation, really the embodiment of what it is to be a human being that's able to channel down inspiration, creativity, artistry, visions, books, movies, ideas, all kinds of different things, and actually make spirit manifest in this plane. It's an extraordinary ability, one that my teacher always talks about this, like our guides actually don't really have the ability to do. They need us to do it. So this week, there's some very big movement that maybe has felt a bit stilted, not quite ready. The key is to not edit it, to not worry about like the final project. With magician stuff, we just have to let it come. It's crucial. It's stopping a very powerful river when we kind of try to be like, oh, I need like the right conditions, like whatever. You don't need, you just need to be an open vessel, pen on paper or whatever, you know, kind of medium you have, and just let it go. And for just the example I mentioned with my own work right now, because sometimes it's not with magician and with life and with spirit work and with soul work, it's not actually about the project or the channel or the song or the piece of writing itself. It's what it unblocks or frees up in us when we've channeled it down. So that's the key with magician. Magician's ruled by Mercury. Mercury is connected to Gemini. Mercury has to move, communicate, extend, connect. You know, Gemini is the great connector. Gemini attunes and receives through their body, their channel, their nervous system. It lights up the hands and it lights up the heart and the lungs and lets everything come together. So we breathe, we communicate, we paint, we write, we use our hands to create. There's an incredible triangulation that occurs with this kind of energy. And that's what we're working with this week. The basic main advice that I have is to really let the muses show you what they want you to be working on, to experiment for 1 week in our very manifestation, willing things into being culture that I think is very present in spirituality as well. In this culture of I'm going to make this happen. It is very, very powerful and refreshing and humbling to open to something different, to open to saying, I'm going to let you lead me. Actually, muses, inspiration, inner magician, you show me what you'd like me to work on. You show me what you'd like me to open to. I want you to show me and I want to follow you there. That's what is possible. That's what we're doing here with this energy this week. So I'm very excited to sort of tune in next week and kind of feel into what that all felt like, because it feels pretty potent to me. And now we're going to dive into our listener question, which is, and this always happens, I pick the listener question and then I pull the card of the week. And it's always perfectly aligned in some way. And so, I just love that magic. But this question is from Tay. And Tay asks, Hi, Lindsay, I'm so grateful to you and what you do. I cannot begin to tell you the ways in which your interpretations and angles on the cards I've been pulling have been the deepest and most meaningful medicine to me in the hardest year of my life. I could really use your perspective on something I've been coming up against. Very briefly, I'm deep in a very, very difficult and complicated heartbreak. There are a lot of factors that keep me extremely stuck in hope for reconciliation and a lot of difficulty, quote, moving on. Finding the line between giving space and acceptance to my grief and not falling all the way into being trapped in orbit around the gravity of my yearning is tricky, but I'm giving myself grace when that happens too. My issue is that my decks keep giving me the Lovers and Two of Cups, especially on days when the absolute last thing I need is to be reflecting on love and its place in our humanity or whatever the fuck. And I'm starting to feel almost kicked around and teased. It feels so cruel. I could really use some perspective on how this could be medicine for me right now when I'm already doing plenty of ruminating on love as it is. And if I could kindly ask that the answer not go in the direction of self-love if possible. I'm starting to resent the messaging everywhere in heartbreak advice that mourning for a lost partner indicates that you must not feel complete on your own. And trust me, I'm self-carrying my ass off. Is there anything to these cards in combination in this time in my life that could be trying to tell me about something besides the power of love and human connection? Oh, Tay, thank you for your words. Thank you for this beautifully eloquent, searching, aching question. I can feel so much of what you're writing with and holding. And I'm just so grateful that you're trusting me with this question and offering me this mission to see if I can offer something around these two cards that don't have something to do with self-love or self-acceptance. Because as you know, because you're familiar with my work, there's so much that these cards bring in this area, right? I am going to mention one thing about it at a certain point, if I remember, because sometimes things come into my head and then they fly right out. But because you asked explicitly, to not receive that. I did something I don't often do that I hope is okay with you, which is that I pulled an anchor card for each of these cards. So I pulled an anchor card for you to help me answer your question. I didn't read on you or anything, obviously, without your permission, but I framed it around my own assistance to you and asked for a little bit of clarity about what lovers could be bringing you or what else we could look at around it and what else we could look at with Two of Cups. I hope that's okay. And if it's not, or even if it is, you let me know. So in this time of so much work that you're doing, and I believe you, right? Like holding all these different pieces, taking such beautiful care of yourself. The one thing that I really just wanted to like kind of stick in the ground before we move into what I think might be interesting with looking at the two cards I pulled around these two cards and how I can support you with them in relationship to your question, is the messaging everywhere that you directly referenced about in heartbreak advice that mourning for a lost partner indicates you must not feel complete on your own. I just really want to echo and in solidarity with you that that's total bullshit. Like, we can mourn and grieve and long and be deeply pulling from the well of self. We are social beings. We are meant to be in relationship with one another. And so I agree with you. And I think it's madness that there isn't more of just a willingness to say, yes, this is very, very hard right now. And the only thing, as I mentioned to you, I want to be in complete respect of your request. The only thing that I wanted to just drop in before we center these two cards is that I do not believe that you receiving lovers and Two of Cups has anything to do, it's not a comment on you not loving yourself enough or doing the work. Sometimes when we get repeaters, I'm just going to pull this into a little mention about repeating cards, which you might know, but it might just be helpful to be reminded. And if it's annoying, you can just skip on down to when I talk about these two cards. But with repeaters, there's a tendency, it's very common to feel like, ugh, why are you giving me these cards 100 times? Like, I get it. Am I not doing the work? And in my experience, humble as it may be, I really feel like when we get repeaters, it has to do with being almost like if we're just in the season of winter or spring, like we're just in what we're in. We're in winter. And so, I'm going through a PDX winter out here, and it's fucking, man, it's gorgeous. I feel very lucky to be here, but oof, these winters are long. And every day is kind of the same. It's like the same gray thing. And it's very similar in a weird way to, and a good analogy for pulling the same card over and over again, because it can start to feel like, is like enough. Like what else do you have to, but it's not personal. It's the season being the season, right? So in my, just for my like 2 cents, just something additional to maybe reframe these feelings that you're feeling around like, oh, this feels almost cruel. I just wanted to offer a quick invitation to potentially reframe if you pull these cards again. One is that I think lovers is just speaking to the work you're doing right now. Like, lovers is ruled by Gemini. It has to do with like being in relationship. Like, what's mine? What's this person's? Like relationship stuff. Like, it has nothing to do with like lovers. It can come up with around anyone or anything, how we're in dynamic with the world outside of us and other human beings. So sometimes lovers can come up for me and it can feel kind of just a little like, I don't quite know what it brings immediately because it's very, 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 very multifaceted and multi-layered, very much like a hall of mirrors in some ways. But I think it's showing up as a mirror to what you're doing, loving yourself through this wild time. And, you know, for me personally, Two of Cups is very like of the moment. And I honestly think could also be showing up as a mirror for you, just you continually embracing yourself through the hard stuff. So these cards might be showing up as affirmations to what you're doing. Because I'll just offer, because you're asking me the question, like, I've never pulled Two of Cups in a good moment. It always comes up when I'm talking about myself only, Tay. It always comes up for me when I'm making some part of myself like a problem. And it's basically telling me, can you embrace this part too and not make it a problem? So again, that's my own personal experience. Definitely does not come up to be like, love yourself. It just comes up to say, hey, like, can you hold everything here? Sometimes it comes up to basically tell me, like, I see you, you're doing this, you're doing a great job. So I just wanted to offer that for what it's worth, that I feel very humbly and respectfully, like these cards might just be showing up to tell you you're doing a great fucking job. But that being said, what I pulled for you as an anchor card around lovers, like one piece that could be maybe interesting or helpful or different, was actually High Priestess reversed, related to how I could support you. And before I get into that, I want to talk about what I pulled for Two of Cups as an anchor card for something that I could maybe, because you asked specifically, anything to these cards in combination in this time in my life that could be trying to tell me about something besides the power of love and human connection. The card that I pulled for Two of Cups for you as an anchor was Three of Cups. So High Priestess reverse and Three of Cups in concert tells me something about these two cards in concert for you. And what might be potentially something to look at. Again, I just want to be really clear. I'm not reading on you. I'm not reading for you because I don't have your consent and permission to do that. I'm just really truly going off of like this little dance that the cards are doing and what permission and consent I do have. And hopefully I'm serving in the bounds of that right now. So I'm going to work backward and kind of, I'm going to work back to come forward or forward to come backward. High Priestess reversed. Sometimes can show up to tell us that we may be benefited by deeper quiet. It's not to say you're not being quiet enough. It's not to say that you're not doing everything that's right and perfect for you to do right now as you navigate this. When this card shows up reversed, it can indicate that there might not be a message per se, but that we're just being called to be with ourselves and to lean a little bit more into and onto that deep inner voice in us. So why that is a useful connector to Three of Cups is because I actually believe that Three of Cups is the kind of ultimate connect, commune, and hang out with your guides card. And I think in short, the Lovers has to do with being in relationship, not just in this human world, but with our spirit helpers. It has to do with feeling like we can lean in on these allies and anchors. And that might look really like, hey, this is really hard and I'm open to more support from you, but I don't even know what that looks like. Or, you know, I'm not even sure what I'm supposed to be doing. Like being really honest with all of the pieces around this. I really feel like the Lovers could be bringing that kind of wrinkle to it. And Two of Cups, again, if we think about like Two of Cups in the Smith Rider way, it has to do with one person sort of opening their arms to another. What might it be in this time that you are holding, experiencing, navigating so much? What might it be like to let in your spirit helpers a little more? What might it be to open to the invisible support around you? Because I do feel that, again, not reading for you, but I know when these cards show up, and especially in relationship to each other, that it can be a very strong indication that there's just some like real blasts, like some Care Bear stares of love coming at you from the other side of the veil. And sometimes it's really just being with it. Sometimes it's like literally, there's no pomp and circumstance, unfortunately. You know, sometimes it's just lighting a candle and like just being with. And sometimes it's a different way of engaging with our guides. You know, you may be in a season right now where you're doing a lot of like questions, you know, where you're asking a ton of questions, like, really, and that's the feeling I got, you know, when I read the words that you wrote me. It's like there's just so many what ifs and unknowns and so many things that you're holding, a lot of unknowns right now. It's a big in process time for you. And so when we're in process, the natural place to go with that is to be tuning in with our guides about like, well, what's the right thing today? What, you know, is there something I'm missing? Like all those very, very important pieces. And I'm wondering what it might feel like for you to just be with your guides. It's a weird thing. Maybe you're already doing it. And if so, maybe this is an affirmation for that. I would say that what seems to be coming forward for me, based on what I've pulled for you, is that maybe this combination of cards that you're pulling has to do with a deepening and a richness that wants to happen related to your invisible spiritual support. That's my thought on it. What do you think? If it feels right and if you have the space or even the desire, write me at info@tarotforthewildsoul.com and let me know how this lands. And if you need to sit with it for a little bit, that's okay. And if you don't want to write me, that's okay too. but please do if you feel called to, because I'd love to hear how it lands. And if there's any more specifics that you'd like me to touch into, I'm happy to, you know. And yeah, just really holding you through this and witnessing you inside of it and hoping for whatever this is worth, that it nourished at least somewhat or validated, or because again, these cards and my words don't mean you're not connected to your guides. It doesn't mean that you're not sitting in silence. It doesn't mean, like, I'm not making that. These cards are not telling me that you're not doing that necessarily. Sometimes High Priestess reverse can show up. And honestly, there've been times where I've been like, what more do you want from me? I'm sitting with you as much as I can. And yet it can come up when I'm kind of trying to, I'm not saying this is true for you, Tay, just offering my own anecdotal kind of experience. Sometimes High Priestess reverse can come up when I just really want an answer to something and there just is no answer right now. And so then the opportunity for me is like, okay, well, what is it to just be with that, right? Or to weave in ritual or to connect. The other thing that I'd say too is like, again, like going back to Three of Cups being an anchor for your Two of Cups work. Sometimes it's just like, there isn't necessarily, like, I wonder in this time where you're doing so much deep work, if it might be beautiful, helpful to just kind of goof off and have fun with friends or with people that you love. Like, I wonder if, like, in this really fucking hard time, if like laughter, a really sweet dinner with some wonderful people that you love would be possible, question mark, or a good Zoom call. You said specifically like outside of human connection, so I haven't woven in that piece until now, but maybe perhaps it'll ping something, but I'm certainly not getting that you're not doing, you know, so much work. I can tell that you really are and doing beautifully. And I think these cards are just affirming you, you know. So let me know if this lands or if you have questions or if you'd like me to do something differently. And I'll try my best to speak to that. Thank you for trusting me with this, Tay. And I'm wishing you so much luck on your journey with this. And thank you, all of you, for tuning in. And I hope that my answer to Tay's question has illustrated how powerful pulling clarifiers can be. Because while you might have completely different things to say to Tay about, or to yourself upon pulling these cards, that's kind of the beauty of reading tarot, is that like we're all going to have different takes. And, you know, really how beautiful to have that much spaciousness around it. So whether or not you sort of agreed with my thoughts on it, let kind of what you walk away with be the power of clarifying cards, because they can really help, you know, rather than, like, because I would never have known the answer. And I don't know if I answered Tay's question really, but I would never have had really anything to offer to any reader who wrote in with a question like this without going to the actual deck for wisdom. So, yeah, clarifying cards for the win. And that's how to use them in action. So thank you all so much for being here. It's always a joy. Happy to be here and excited to connect with all of you next week. And until we connect next week, please take exquisite care of yourselves.